The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Pray. But it's always about when nobody's looking. When you're by yourself and the flesh rises up. And it's like at that moment, okay, who do I represent? Nobody's watching, but you're watching, God. And who do I represent? And I'm not saying I get it right 100% of the time. But I always recognize that it's not just me I represent. Does that make sense? And not only do I represent him, I represent you. And I want to do that well. Not that I'm perfect. Oh, you talk to me 3 minutes, you'll know that. But the fact is, the standard is always the standard. And it's always Jesus. And it's always him working through us. Amen? And we recognize that. And we're going to keep moving forward together, okay? Amen. Amen. Advancing his kingdom. I was thinking, you know, of course, with what EJ had said about, you know, quarter inch every, I agree with you, by the way, but that is your gauge 5 inches. It's five. He's praying that it would fill up. He brought it in yesterday after the service, and it was at 4 3/4, 4 1/2. Did it fill? It filled. It went to 5. So it's his fault. He was speaking a full gauge, and it filled it up. But praise God, you know, and Joella, I love you, sweetie. In Joel 2, in Joel 2, verse 23, I'm in the New King James, I think. Joel 2, yes, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Now, one of the things that we've prayed for many, many years is for spiritual rain to fall on this region. Spiritual rain. The Holy Spirit, right? You know, he's the Holy Spirit falling on this land, this region where people would be drawn to Jesus, be filled with him and his presence, and then be empowered to advance the kingdom, right? We've prayed that a lot of times. And physical rain, where people would see the difference with their eyes, right? And, you know, when it talks about the latter rains, and it says in the first month, now, we could get into stuff, you know, the first month in Exodus, they talk about Nisan, but the first month of the Jewish calendar, as we understand it, is a Tishri, which is right now. Now. And it's symbolic of the movement of the Holy Spirit and the inside out from his Spirit moving out, okay? So understand, there's things happening right now that are symbolic. They mean something, though, right? Because I was talking to Sarah. Misty and I have been around here a long time. Here. And some of you, too. I won't poke at you. I don't remember 5 inches. No. Ever. No. Ever.
Well, at 63.
I wasn't here. Yeah. I'm not that far. But guys, in October, guys, again, we recognize things like that. Right. What a blessing. Number one, it's a blessing. Number two, Lord, you're pouring that out. And I'm believing it's symbolic of you pouring out your Spirit on this land, on this region. And when I say the region, guys, it's a big region. Right? And it's God showing his care and love going into this next season. Amen. And we're going into a season, right? When Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 16, he's talking to them about him having to leave, the Holy Spirit coming, what the Holy Spirit would do for them. In verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," okay, which is always the key, "you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." Okay? There's no qualifiers there. You might have tribulation. There's a possibility that things will happen. You might get away with it. You might not. No, no, no. It says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But then what does he say right after? He says, "But be of good cheer." But be of good cheer. That's that whole taking joy. You take joy. You don't wait for it to come to you. You take joy. It says, be of good cheer. Why? He says, because I have overcome the world. I mean, and when he says that, there's a period and exclamation point after. Meaning, it's a done deal. That's what he's done for us. So, Father God in heaven, I thank you for telling us to be of good cheer, for us taking joy when we face various trials and tribulations, Father. Knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, and patience is having its perfect work in us, that we be mature and lacking nothing. Father, we believe your word. It does not return void. It does not return void in our lives. It doesn't return void in this region, Father. It's accomplishing the things you've sent it to accomplish, Father. We believe that, and we're going to walk that out in obedience, Father. Lead us this day as we worship you and study your word, Father. Empower us with your Holy Spirit that we would know how to advance your kingdom in our lives in a way that will produce the fruit of your Spirit's presence, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We could probably stop there. We won't. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. You know, anybody that's ever tribulations, which we all have, that tribulation tries to get between your ears and stay there and stay there. You know, the whole how it replays stuff over and over in your head. It wants to torment you. And let me say, when you're being tormented, what do you want? Peace. Like if you've ever had pain, you want peace. You want to be free from that. You want peace. You've had mental anguish, worry, whatever it is, right? In this world, that's what the enemy's trying to do, is steal people's peace and put fear right there. I've been saying this a lot, right? Well, there's a reason. There's a reason I'm saying this. And there's a reason that, you know, of course, as I was preparing to say just a few words at our sister's service yesterday, you know, Miss Sharon Shalom, she would always say shalom, right? Peace. Peace, speaking peace. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Man, you know, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is peace. Meaning, you know, we don't have to look for it, we have it. Now, do we have to access it? Absolutely. Do you have to fight for it? You better. Because the enemy's fighting for you not to have it. So you better fight to keep it. But it says right here that you, God, will keep us in perfect peace. Now there's an if there. Whose mind is stayed on you? Talking about your mind. Because he trusts in you. Okay? So our mind is staying on him, not the situation. I mean, and we go back to the whole thing. You know, the flesh wants to bring your attention to the tribulation, to the problem, to the, you know, to the addiction, to the problem, to the battle before you, all the stuff, right? We want to focus there. When our focus should be on the author and the finisher of our faith, right? And that's what this is saying. We're trusting him. And because we're doing that and our mind is going to him, we have peace. Peace surpasses understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. That's our soul, right? Right? And that's what we have to have in this day and age. In the Passion, it says in Isaiah 26:3, in the Passion, which it's hard to get to unless you have the app. Because even in my body, they don't have Isaiah yet, but in some they do. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you, O God. That's a different way of saying it, huh? They confidently trust in you. So your imagination being consumed with God. If you look up imagination, the word it's the process of creativity. There's a definition. When we tap into the Creator, right, through our spirits, because we have the Holy Spirit, His Spirit inside of us, so we can commune with Him spirit to spirit because He's inside of us. And when our mind lets go of our own thoughts, the Creator of the universe starts creating in you. He creates courage. He creates strength. He creates joy in you. He gives you the peace that doesn't make sense for what's going on.
And we have him all the time, 24/7. Now, does that mean I access his presence all the time? No, no. Should I? Yes. But that's my walk every day. And that's okay. It's okay. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. But I know that Jesus says he's already overcome the world. So even though I'm here, he's overcome it. I'm just walking out and taking ground he has already conquered. Right? Now, is the enemy going to put up a fight? Absolutely. Is the enemy going to show you the fire? Absolutely. And so as I was praying about it, and if you watch any of the testimonies, right? You watch the testimonies, some people have been here. Every testimony, there's fire. Everybody's life had a tribulation, and there was fire. And who delivered every person from the fire? He didn't miss a one. Man. So, in that theme, as the Lord is showing me, let's just look at Daniel chapter 3. We know this story, but we want to look at it a little bit, okay? Daniel 3. You see, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had basically said, listen, anytime you hear stuff happening, what's a psaltery? I don't know what that is. There's a lyre, flute, harp, a symphony. You'll fall down and worship the gold image, right? This is what's going on in Daniel. It's Daniel 3, I was in 8. And whoever does not fall down, verse 11, 3:11 now, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now remember, the Israelites, the Jews, were in captivity there, and they were basically slaves. They were serving that king. They were dispersed, right? And why were they dispersed? Because they didn't obey God. They were in a tough spot because they disobeyed God. There's a lesson there too for all of us, right? All right, then there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought them in before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up before you? See, this world is going to put up little idols and little gods. You know, I don't care what it is, money, time, little things that, you know, want to take your focus away from the living God, right? So that's where these guys are at. You know, this king's saying, no. Your focus needs to be on my God. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, then good. But if you don't, you'll be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He asked the question. He even asked him, well, who's going to deliver you when I physically put you into a furnace? And doesn't it feel that way with your problem? Doesn't it feel like that furnace is hot? And you just feel like you're just being poured into it. And at your moment of despair, you cry out, God, are you going to help me? You know, first thing, are you going to help me? Second thing, why are you putting me in here, God? And he's like, Monty, I didn't do that to you. You walked your merry little way over there. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, it's important to use your mouth. I think Jim and Misty have preached that. It's important to use your mouth. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They speak what they know to be true. We speak what we know to be true. We speak God's word. Why? Because God's word is true. We don't speak the problem. We don't say, how hot is that? And you're going to put us in when? Now? Like, how much time do I have here? No. They spoke what was true. They didn't speak the problem. They spoke the solution. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, and see, this is where I've thought of this scripture many times in my life. Verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. See, there is a point in your walk with God. After being saved, right? Okay, being saved, ABCs. When I'm talking about being saved, what I'm talking about being in the family of God, you know, A, admitting and acknowledging that I've sinned and I needed a Savior. And we all have. Everyone has. B, believing that Jesus, he is that Savior. He's the one that paid the price for every sin that was ever committed from Adam until the last day. And then C, just confessing that with my mouth. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Amen. That's what grace is. It's a free gift. You can accept it. And when you accept it, your eternity is secure. If you deny him, and you pass, your eternity is lost forever. It's a long time, and I don't want that for anyone. That's just the truth, right? But when you have Jesus, and you see the world coming against you with a trial and a tribulation and a fiery furnace, and when you've got to a point in your walk where you say, listen, Lord, I'm walking this out. I know you can deliver me, but whatever you choose, no matter, I'm following you. Amen. Really. I can remember the day my back was against the wall, and I said, listen, I'm not doing it secondhand. We're doing this together. Whatever happens, happens. It doesn't have to be the way I think. I don't care. And you know, that was the most freeing thing ever in my life, when I just let go. Well, but what if he doesn't do that? What if he does? What if he does something better? No, what if me? He created the universe. I've watched him at work. And here's the thing, too. And maybe it's getting older, I don't know. Yeah, but Monty, what if they kill you? Don't threaten me with a good time. I mean, really, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me? And I get to be in heaven forever with you? Okay. It's a real place, people. It's a real place, right? And you'll recognize me there. I'll recognize you. I'm going to have all my hair. I'll be skinny again. Seriously, it's a real place. And because of whom I've chosen, who's inside of me, I know I'll spend eternity there. But in the meantime, while I'm here, I'm going to serve you, God, no matter what happens, no matter what kind of furnace you put in front of me. I'm not going to get off out of the way of serving you. I'm not going to go misrepresent you by bowing down to some gold image. I'm not going to do it. And a lot of images are being put before you. Political images, you know, ways of thinking that, oh, well, you know, don't you want to be kind to these people? I am going to be kind. I'm going to speak the truth in love. That's kindness. That's kindness. Speaking the truth in love is kindness. Well, that's your opinion. No, it's God's opinion, because I'm going to speak the truth of the Word of God. Amen. That way it's not my opinion, because guess what? My opinions don't matter. They don't. What matters is Jesus. That's what matters, right? Okay, let's read the story. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Yeah, he was mad. And the expression on his face changed. Yeah, there's a spirit working there. Toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, a little twist, isn't it? And the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, and they said, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It's a real story, people. You know there's a historical accounts of these things outside the Bible? This is a real story. This happened. You think the king, well, we're going to read, he saw what he saw. People are going to see you thrown into the fire. They're going to see it. And when you come out the other side better than you went in, they're going to know you weren't in there alone. They're going to know that. I like the story. I like this story that Andrew Womack told. I don't know when, Jim, you can remind me. I don't know if it was in the little conference with us or whatever. But when he was talking about, you know, his ministry had advanced and he was doing things. And God was really blessing him. It was really growing, right? Because he come from a small little church. You know, he started small and the Lord blessed him. And he went home to talk to his mom. And his mom says, Andy, I know you're not doing this. You're not smart enough. Do you remember him telling that story? And he says, Mama, you're right. I'm not doing this. You don't have to do it. You're not alone in that trial and tribulation. You're not alone in your walk. He says he'll never leave you and forsake you. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me, you're going to have the peace. Looking at me, you'll keep perfect peace. I'll give that to you. So we don't have to be concerned about November 5th. Is that it? We don't have to be concerned about, well, what about voting machines? Creator of the universe, people. Creator of the universe. Right? Yeah, but what happens if this happens? Yeah, what if? Is all of a sudden, you know, Jesus going to be voted out of being king?
No.
No! In fact, the moment that they killed him, when Satan thought he had the victory, he lost everything. When Jesus tore the veil and paid the price that had to be paid, why did it have to be paid? Because God said. See, this wasn't about appeasing Satan. This is about God fulfilling his own word and doing it himself for us because he knew we couldn't do it for ourselves. So he died for us, right? So that we wouldn't have to go through fire by ourselves. Hmm. 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and he spoke saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Things have changed in this man's mind, right? Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the ministers, governors, and the kings, and the counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, for your righteousness of the Lord. But whatever you do will prosper, for you're like trees that are planted by the rivers of water. That's who you are. That's who you are. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, this king wasn't stupid.
He says, therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Man. And then it says, the king promoted those men. Of course he did. He recognized, man, there's a favor of God on their lives. Listen, you may be at the point of this story where you're being threatened with the fiery furnace. You may be at the point where that threat has increased 7 times. You may be at the point where you're being tied up and taken to that furnace. Whichever point you're in, God's with you. When he's in you, he's with you. You get thrown in, he's with you. You get taken out, he's with you. You get raised up, he's with you. See, my attitude can't change at any point in that timeline. It can't. I have to trust him just as much there and praise him just as much there as I do when I'm walking out. Right? I have to believe him just as much over here as I do over here. And walking out of it, and when everything's good and happy days and the band's playing, I got to praise him and believe him that much more on that day too. See, guys, fiery trials are here. They're here, and they're going to increase. You're so negative. No, I've read the book. You see, I've read the book. And I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I was talking to my friend about this the other day. We know what's going to happen. And so regardless of how God takes us there, he is taking us there. Regardless of how it looks. And it's going to look bad. And then it's going to look 7 times worse. But I don't trust what my eyes are telling me. I trust what God says, right? I mean, that's what we've been preaching about and talking about. What did God say? What has God said about it? Everything I'm preaching today is what God has said. And see, remember, well, he'll do it for those three, but they were, you know, part of the Jewish hierarchy, and they won't do it for me. No, the word of God says he's not a respecter of persons. And what else has he done for you that these three didn't have the benefit of? He put the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit was talking to them, but he wasn't in them then. He couldn't be in them. Why couldn't he be in them? Because sin had not been atoned for completely. Because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. That's why. Well, we're on this side of the cross. Praise God. How much more power are we able to walk in? So every time I read these Old Testament stories, God reminds me, you know, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. Why are you whining? That's a good question. Why am I whining? Why am I frustrated? Why am I worried? Because I'm crucifying the flesh just like you are. So get after it and crucify it so that you can walk in the Spirit of God, so you can walk in the peace that he provides, and people will notice. Not just people, unbelieving people. Not just unbelieving people, evil people. Because God wants them to turn too. You know what I'm saying? And that's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. That every day is today. And when are you supposed to receive him? Today. Today. You know, today I'll make my decree. Today. This day. This day I'll take my stand. This day I'll be in faith. You know, now faith is. Well, faith is now. It's always right now. We're always speaking life. We're always speaking power. We're always speaking Jesus. You know, when they sing, I speak Jesus. We're going to speak Jesus over the trials and tribulations. We're going to speak Jesus over this region. We're going to speak Jesus
over the rain. Right? We're going to speak Jesus over our nation, over our government. They need Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will